Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but isn't it wrong for people of one religion to make fun of another person's religion or to even be critical of a religion at all? Well, my friend, perhaps that depends on which religion we are talking about and which freedom of speech we're trying to suppress. For example, there were some journalists in France who thought they had a right to make points and make them with the use of satire. Now, this story is not new anymore, but it's the first chance I've had to respond over the air. 12 cartoonists and satirists were gunned down by hooded attackers with assault rifles. Now, that may sound a bit extreme. It sure sounds extreme to our media because that's the only word I hear. Extreme, extreme. I am tired of the word extreme. I am tired of the word extremist. I'm especially tired of it when it comes from our administration and it's part of their talking point. So I will not mince words. They were Muslims. That's spelled with an M. Not fringe Muslims who have hijacked a beautiful, peaceful religion and misrepresented it. No, they were real, honest-to-goodness Muslims who read what the Quran actually teaches and commands. They burst into a magazine's office building shouting Allah Akbar, Arabic for Allah is great. In their own words, this was done to avenge the prophet. You see, they didn't like seeing cartoons drawn of Muhammad. They didn't like seeing their prophet being made fun of. Now, leaders from all over the world responded to this vicious act of barbarism by visiting France and walking in solidarity against Islamic terrorism. And they called it Islamic terrorism, but not President Obama. He wasn't even there. No siree, didn't even show up. Although, I should say, he did the next best thing. He made it up to France by sending John Kerry a few days later along with James Taylor to sing You've Got a Friend. France sleeps better, I'm sure. And terrorists all over the world are just shaking. Well, maybe not all of them. Maybe not the ones who live in France's hands-off zones where police refuse to venture, where Muslim citizens of France practice Sharia law instead of French law. Yes, that's what Obama did. He sent a singer. But that wasn't all. Wait, there's more. Much more. On the heels of this attack, President Obama, who seems to be a master with timing, the same guy that went out golfing after people from ISIS beheaded one of our American citizens, this same guy, right on the heels of this attack in Paris, he releases a few more prisoners from Guantanamo Bay. Wow. Even though it's now been proven that many of these released prisoners returned promptly to their noble, holy cause. When the White House was asked about the timing, they explained that Guantanamo only inspires more terrorism. Guantanamo inspires terrorism. Yeah, I'm sure that must be right. I'm trying to figure out how Guantanamo Bay inspired 9/11, though. And according to Osama bin Laden, he had a different reason for 9/11. Osama bin Laden himself said that attack was waged because American soldiers dared to put their feet on Saudi Arabian soil to protect the Saudis from Iraq in Operation Desert Storm. Didn't matter. The unholy Americans were touching Saudi soil. That was his reason for 9/11. And how about a few years later when Al-Qaeda sent a letter to the United States commanding America to convert to Islam or die. They didn't seem concerned about Guantanamo Bay either. Instead, they were troubled, deeply troubled, that we didn't like their religion enough to convert. So they gave us an added incentive. Americans, be on notice, convert or die. They didn't say, and you liberal, politically correct Americans that are always taking our side and explaining what a peaceful religion are, we really appreciate you. No, they said we all had to convert. We all had to convert. Even the ones apologizing for them and making strange bedfellows with them. And there was no Guantanamo Bay prison when Muslims first set out to conquer the world back in the 600s. Conquer the world, right when Islam started. Whose bright idea was that? Well, it was Muhammad's idea, silly. What? But Bob, I thought Islam was a religion of peace, did you? Did you think that? Don't think, son. It hurts the team. Yes, there are many peaceful Muslims. I'm tired of having always to give this disclaimer, but that's all right. I'll give it. Yes, there are many peaceful Muslims. There are. But either they do not know their own Quran or they reinterpret their own Quran. The terrorists just read it. They just read what it actually, literally says. So do the leaders of Muslim countries. So do many Muslim clerics who preach jihad even here in certain American mosques. And when asked about why our president still won't use the word Islam in association with the word terrorism, we are told that our war is not against Muslim extremists alone, but rather all extremists. Why be so specific? We're against all forms of extremism. Now, what does that mean? All forms of extremists. Well, let's take out our handy-dandy Obama lexicon. When he first took over the war on terror, his head of national security at the time, Janet Napolitano, broadened the scope of those whom our government should be concerned about and mentioned a variety of causes which can easily breed terrorists, including military veterans, pro-life organizations, and those who have the audacity to express concern about tightening our borders. Those are the breeding grounds of terrorism. So you see, it's a lot of extremists. But why be hard on the president? He's in good company after all. Even the Pope is behaving like a battered wife who enables her abusive husband. Yep, Pope Francis has weighed in. Here are his thoughts, and I'm quoting him directly. You can't provoke. You can't insult the faith of others. You can't make fun of faith. That's the Pope. Okay, now look, I'm not a Catholic, so I could do this the easy way and say I don't really give a rat's behind what the Pope says anyway, but I'm not going to go there because actually I've been very fair to Catholics on this problem, and Protestants have as many problems as Catholics do. I've been very fair to the Catholics. In fact, I did a two-part discussion. You can still go to my website and listen to it, where I had a very friendly, very cordial, very respectful discussion with a Catholic apologist. And although we disagreed with each other, there was great mutual respect. We both saw that we loved the Lord. Respectful. And over the years, even though I don't believe that the Pope was given the seat of St. Peter by Jesus, I don't believe that. But still, as popes go, some popes have been better than others. But honestly, in this case, is Pope Francis saying this stuff with a straight face? One should never speak against a religion. Which Bible is our Pope reading? Is he actually reading that one that has an Old and a New Testament in it? God sure spoke against religions in ancient Canaan. You know, the ones that sacrificed babies on the altar. God called those evil, wicked religions. And Jesus spoke against false religions. Jesus went out of his way to tell us to beware of false prophets. Now, since the Quran, which came after the New Testament, states that Jesus was not whom he claimed to be, was not God incarnate, that would, according to Jesus, make Muhammad a false prophet. Jesus also spoke against religious hypocrites, and he used sarcasm to do it. You don't believe me? Read Matthew 23. But okay. If it's wrong to speak out against religions, then maybe the Pope should just condemn the Quran. The Quran makes anti-Semitic statements. The Quran commands Muslims not to befriend Jews or Christians. Maybe you know Muslims that do befriend Jews and Christians. Doesn't matter. This is what the Quran says. But why confuse people with actual facts? This isn't about being factual. This isn't about being theological. Let's put aside this nonsense and talk about what's really going on here. The purpose of a terror attack is to provoke fear and suppress freedom. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's working. From popes to presidents, it's working. And our own president doesn't believe in free speech unless it's one of his own speeches interrupting your favorite primetime TV show. He's already jailed a film director who made fun of Muhammad in a video. Our whole way of life is in danger. From First Amendment to the entire Constitution, which our president seems to have utter contempt for. The very notion, the very idea that President Obama will protect us from the encroaching threats to our way of life, well, it's a joke. In fact, it's a joke greater than the satire of the magazine that was targeted in Paris, and we have not contemplated what the American equivalent would have been to that Paris massacre. But a woman journalist in Paris tried to drive this point home in an interview for Fox News. She was concerned that Americans did not understand the chilling effect this has on France. Yes, we know it's murder. Yes, we know it's wrong. But she wanted Americans to realize what this satirical magazine represented in their culture. She said that the American equivalent would be as if somebody gunned down the staff of The Daily Show and every member from the cast of Saturday Night Live back when it was the original cast, back when Saturday Night Live actually mattered to people. And yet, I'm watching the news. I'm listening to them read one email and one tweet after another. Now, the fault is not entirely with the terrorists here. People should be more careful and responsible about what they say. Well, let me be responsible right now. Genuinely responsible. And my idea of responsibility is to be as clear as I possibly can. So I hope you're all paying attention. On this radio program, we believe in freedom of speech. I don't care what our mealy-mouthed, politically correct president says. I don't care what the Pope says. Freedom of speech, I believe in. Any speech, whether it offends or not, even if such speech were inaccurate, I would still have a right to say it. As it happens, calling Islam a violent religion is accurate. Jihad is commanded in the Quran. Muhammad, the founder and so-called prophet of Islam, not only taught jihad, he carried out jihad. How do you think he took over Mecca? By handing out flowers? By offering the population a free Slurpee at 7-Eleven? Now, that doesn't mean we need to automatically make fun of the guy, but sometimes satire can make a point. And even though I am a Christian, I have used satire and sarcasm quite often to challenge my fellow Christians. You can go to my website. You can listen to some of my sketches where I went after the Christians too. I've been very critical of the church. I was just critical of the Pope. I have been critical of Protestants, evangelicals. I will also be critical of Islam. Make no mistake. I will not stop using satire to challenge the teachings of Islam. This has been a tradition since the beginning of this program, and we're into our 11th season. And even though our very first sketch a long time ago was satirical, it was based upon a genuine news story. The terrorist organization Hamas holding a summer camp for children. You see, folks, you can't even make this stuff up. But we did take at that time a serious subject and then with humor made our point. I guess with all that's going on in the news today, I just feel like making that point again. And so I will. Let's take a trip down memory lane with our own Smiley Miley.
Hey, kids. Summer's coming to a rapid end, but it isn't too early to start thinking about next summer. Reserve your spot now and be where the action is. That's right. Hamas, the grandest growing group of Gaza, presents Summer Camp 2006. Swimming lessons, horseback riding, potato sack races, Jew hating, and other summertime fun. Our comfortable facilities help to make your stay a welcome one, while the patriotic green flags of Hamas in the background also make your stay a focused one. Camp songs include "In the Good Old Summertime," "Where Have All the Blasphemers Gone?" and "Other Religions Are for Sissies." Arts and crafts classes include painting, ceramics, basket weaving, matzo poisoning, and first-year bomb assembly. You may enter our camp as a boy, but you'll return as a man. You'll be challenged and stretched with teamwork and rigorous sporting activities. shooting rapids, climbing trees, stalking infidels, and of course, beating last year's record for the fastest suicide. Some of our kids like to save that one for last.
Uncle Omar, when I grow up, will I learn to kill as many Zionists as you?
That's my boy. Study up, work hard. There's no telling what you might do.
Hamas summer camp. Having us next to Israel is the next best thing to no Israel at all.
We live in an evil world. But we also live in a world that was created to be wonderful by the real God. Let me offer now some good news. Thousands upon thousands of Muslims who hate the jihad are leaving their faith and turning to Jesus. Many atheists also turn to Jesus in time. That includes me. I was an atheist once. Sometimes the reason we don't believe in God is that he gets misrepresented by those who murder in his name. Other times we don't believe because the idea of a loving God just seems too good to be true. But a loving God does exist, and he loves you so much. He became a man and died to take the punishment for your own selfish behavior. This selfishness the Bible calls sin. And if you had been the only person in this world, Jesus would have come down and died just for you. He was actually thinking about you on that cross, your sin, your pain, your frustration, the burdens you carry, the dreams that have been shattered, dreams you gave up on long ago. Some of you are tired of living the wrong lifestyle, doing the wrong thing. Others are trying desperately to do the right thing, trying to make something good of your life, but you still end up messing things up because you think you're fighting alone. He understands, and he waits for you with hands outstretched. He wants to give you comfort. He wants to give you rest. He wants to adopt you as his son or daughter. He wants to personally raise you and maybe be the father you never had. He wants to be a drink of water in a dry, scorching desert.
May it be an evening star shines down upon you. May it be when darkness falls, your heart will be
oh. Hey, this is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Hi, I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to AM 1170, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, and co-hosting the show with me today is my good friend, always great to have him, Greg Jarvis, calling all the way from Missouri. Greg, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year? I have to ask that. I have to do all these platitudes first.
Well, it was all very good. Thank you for asking. How was yours?
It was very good, too. Okay.
Good. Wow. What a topic. What tragedy in the world, but that's not the only tragedy. I mean, there's a lot of... I had to go out and start reading. I had never heard of Charlie Hebdo.
Oh, that's the name for that magazine, right?
I never heard of it. And now I think a whole lot of people who had never heard about it heard of it.
Yeah.
And I think their publication was flying off the shelf.
It's kind of like the play My American Cousin, an otherwise forgotten play, but it was the play Abraham Lincoln was watching the night he was assassinated. So.
Oh, yeah, but other than that, Mr. Lincoln, how'd you like the play, right?
I think he was enjoying it at first. I think the evening started out a little better than it ended up.
I think so. but I'm sure now that there's, it almost seems like the people that did the violence catapulted attention to the magazine and to what they're putting out, because I'm sure there's been lots of internet activity to see what were those cartoons all about.
It is, and I'm glad to see so many people defending the freedom of the magazine, but I've heard so many comments saying that the magazine acted inappropriately. And I'm going, well, you know what's inappropriate? Going and gunning down somebody because he has a point of view that doesn't agree with yours. That's the only thing we should be calling inappropriate. Yeah. I don't, you know, I speak about Islam. I speak about other religions. I don't really care if somebody draws a cartoon of Muhammad or not, but doggone it, if that's what they want to do, they could draw anything they want. I'm so tired of this.
Well, I got to say, one of my favorite scenes in any movie is one of the last scenes in The Life of Brian, which most people would find.
Oh, this is what, well, yeah, what, yeah, we should say now, Greg and I love Monty Python. We've been friends for years. And the Life of Brian is a movie that many Christians found sacrilegious and blasphemous. I am not of the opinion that Monty Python was trying to do anything but be funny. But whatever their motive was, it was a hilarious movie. And are you talking about the scene, Greg, where they're on the cross singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life?
Right.
Yeah, Jesus' hands are already up on the cross and his feet are kicking. I thought it was hilarious. You know, it's funny, Greg, is... where was this? This was when I was doing some open-air evangelism out at the University of Minnesota. And I was sponsored by Campus Ambassador. I was doing it every day around noon. And on Friday, I remember the atheists came out. And you could tell they were just trying to rub it in our faces. Before I got up to speak, they were handing out flyers because they were going to have a special screening of Life of Brian that night. I turned to them. I said, I love Life of Brian. They didn't know what to do with that. But here's the thing. Even if Life of Brian weren't hilarious, which it is, and I'll probably get some Christians send me an email saying, how can you like Life of Brian? But even if it weren't absolutely hilarious and brilliant, even if it was the stupidest thing in the world, even if they had tried to be blasphemous, nobody seems to worry that a vanload of nuns is going to come and gun them down if they do something like that. It's only... around Islam that we're walking on and treading on water. And I think these journalists in France were showing a lot more courage than some of our Hollywood elitists here in America have.
Well, yeah, but it's not fashionable here. It's not...
it's not politically correct.
Not politically correct. So they, you know, they kind of toe the mark here. I think they were a little more progressive over there. And it'll be interesting to see now which way people tend to go. I mean, the concern is, you know, as this heats up, And there's a lot more terrorism than Muslims. I know we're focusing on Muslims, but I was beginning to do some internet search on terrorism and in other countries, and it's amazing and appalling just what's going on out there in the name of God or not in the name of God, just people killing people. I mean, whether it's one or two or masses of people, it's a terrible time.
And of course, we've seen the IRA and things like that for years and doing things in the name of religion. But currently, most of it is going on in the name of Islam. And so when we say, well, we should be against all forms of extremism and,
well, here's
and, you know, and let's not forget the Oklahoma City bombing. Yeah, sure. But that happened a long time ago. Go ahead.
Why is that getting most of the press? Because there is still lots of acts of terrorism going on around the world. But... everyone's focusing on the Muslims, and our president and the media tending to be politically correct, they're making such an effort to do that.
Well, they're trying not. What I'm saying is, I mean, there are people that are focusing on the Muslims, but I'm seeing a lot of people trying not to focus on them. And even in France, where I would say bravo to the journalists, in France they have these hands-off police zones where they're living under Sharia law and where some of these terrorists are living with impunity, and the police will not go in. They're just told, stay away from those areas. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword there. In some ways, they're more progressive than us in what they're willing to say, perhaps even in their liberal media. But in other ways, they're really rolling over and playing dead. And instead of saying, look, when you join our country, you have to become a citizen. Right. And you have to assimilate. That's not a bad word. If somebody wants to live in France, you become assimilated. That doesn't mean you can't still respect the culture you came out of or practice the religion you want. But they are getting the rights of citizens, but then they are not getting any of the consequences of citizens. They're living under Sharia law. And I think we're just a stone's throw from that happening in the United States. We've already had some judges make some rulings. There was a case in New Jersey not long ago where a husband and wife of the Islamic faith were going through a divorce, and the wife came in and said, my ex-husband is raping me. And he said, well, Your Honor, under my religion, under Sharia law, I'm her husband and I have my rights. The judge dismissed the case. Now, it did get overturned, thank goodness, but to even think that an American judge would go there, That's pretty chilling. We are not far behind France.
No, no. So that's well, I guess that would be a call to ourselves to be more more well-read, more committed, more able to speak truth to people in love. It's more important now than ever to know about, because you brought it up earlier in the show, you brought it up from time to time, that Islam is a violent religion. It does have mandates in it. Most of the people I know who know about Islam are Muslims, they don't go there. They don't believe that. They don't even...
Because they're not being taught that on the universities. They're not hearing that in the media.
Right.
Even on Fox News and conservative talk radio, which I think is doing a better job in the media, a lot of them will not go there. They'll keep talking about the fact that they're hijacking this peaceful religion. That's not really true. It is true that there are peaceful Muslims, like Alawi's mentioned, but it's also true that the peaceful Muslims either do not understand or are reinterpreting their own book. There is a problem with the book. Maybe not an individual Muslim we know personally, but that book, the Quran, promotes violence. There's no getting around that, not if we want to actually read it. And I have read it. I'm not just... this was years ago, before this stuff was even fashionable to talk about. Just as a Christian, I always get frustrated when somebody starts putting down the Bible. I'll say, have you read it? So to be fair, I've read the Book of Mormon. I've read the Quran. I've read the Bhagavad Gita. I've read it cover to cover. It does say those things. Well, Greg, hold on with me over the break, and then I'll eventually let you get a word in edgewise here. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday services at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show with Greg Jarvis. Greg, welcome back to our program. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, okay.
We're here.
You're here. Okay.
I'm here. I've got nowhere else to go.
We thought it looked like we had your call had dropped out over the break.
Yeah, I'd lost. Wasn't hearing the commercial. Wasn't hearing something. Thought there was a problem. Oh. Oh, no.
But you are on a landline and not a cell phone.
Okay. I am on a landline.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you paid for that landline, but maybe it was too much. Anyway, we were talking about Islam before the break. I do want to balance this with the good news. It's true that a lot of people don't know that the Quran does practice and command violence. But it's also true that people don't know that 6 million Muslims a year are coming to Christ. And those figures are from the Al Jazeera network. Now, they're not known to be networks that speak the truth, but they would not want that to be true. So if they're reporting that, they're probably doing it kicking and screaming. And I'm inclined to believe the figure, 6 million Muslims a year coming to Christ. So that's something that people don't hear about either.
Well, and that's nice. It's nice for those 6 million Muslims. I don't want to be a pessimist, but I do think that things are going to get worse before they get better. I mean, I have this Hollywood Disney, you know, Disney sort of view of life and things, and everything should be wonderful and great. But, you know, as I read in Scripture, things are probably going to get worse before they get better. And we already see it heading that way here and around the world. But what people do ask is, where's God in all this? And he's never left the scene. And I think that's good news, too. I think that's sometimes I think that's a hard thing to hold on to during these times because we get so micro-focused on the event. And, of course, if my loved one was in the event, I'd be micro-focused on it myself. But it's important, I think, to remember and to know that God has not left the scene, that it's not unattended. And if you go back in the history of Scripture, you find hundreds of years in a span where God appeared to be silent.
There were 400 years where the Israelites didn't hear from God at all, and they called it the 400-year period of silence where God had not sent a prophet.
Exactly.
And John the Baptist was the first prophet to come after the 400 years. That's why people were rushing out, even the rabbis and the priests. They wanted. It was like, wow, after 400 years, God has sent a prophet again. That was huge. And boy, you know, if I go 3 days without hearing from God, I'm wondering what's going on. 400 years, yep. He hadn't sent a prophet. But we look back at that, and since it's ancient history to us, that's like, oh, well, that's just the time between the Old and the New Testament. Let's move on. You know, I read right. Malachi here. I turn the page. I'm on Matthew. So it doesn't seem like 400 years to us, but it was.
The interesting thing is that's, you know, obviously a longer period of time than we've even been a country.
Yeah, that is correct.
And
absolutely.
So it would be bizarre to us in our mentality to not experience God and to not experience his voice and other Christians for as long as our country has even existed. So, I mean, I think it's important to underline and highlight that God has not left the scene, that terrible things do happen, that they will continue to happen because of terrible people in the world, because of sin in the world. Because of Satan's activity, but God is still here, still alive, still well, and all the more important that we know that we don't just wait for a feeling or you know, a feel-good session, that we know that and that we continue to you know, dwell on that, lest we forget and think that, you know, because of these activities that are going on, that somehow he's not aware or that he's not active, and he certainly is. But I want to make another point that's so important that you had mentioned. There's several Muslims that probably don't know that that's what Islam teaches.
Oh, many, many, particularly the ones that have become westernized. A lot of them have fallen in love with the American way of life, and they reinterpret their Quran the way Christians reinterpret the Bible. You meet Christians that say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe Christ is the only way, and
okay.
Yeah, the same thing happens with Muslims.
Steal my thunder. That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't even know why you have me on this
well,
show.
Well, Greg, why did the Lord in his infinite wisdom create thunder if I wasn't meant to steal it from you? I mean, you talk about God being on his throne.
but that was my point. I mean, Christians don't know a lot of times what Scripture teaches.
Oh, Christians usually don't know shoe polish from the Bible. See, folks, equal opportunity criticism here. I just put down Christians.
Yeah, you're going to get some emails, but the important thing
probably
is
the Christians will put a jihad on me, not the Muslims.
The important thing is the difference between the Islam jihad and let's call them Christian extremists, because there have been, you know, in our lifetime, Christian extremists. The difference is, as you mentioned, which should be highlighted, is that Christian extremists are extremists outside of the faith, outside of the doctrines of what Scripture teaches, whereas what's going on in the name of Islam, that's within the context, within the teaching, and that's radically different.
Exactly. When people always like to bring up the Crusades, and right. The Crusades were nothing for Christians to brag about. They were started by the Muslims conquering, and they were taking land away, but there was too much of a preoccupation with the need to possess land and still be a Christian. And when things were done in a bloodthirsty way, what I tell people is those wars were fought from the Christian point of view in disobedience to Jesus, from the Muslim point of view in obedience to Muhammad. And that makes a huge difference.
Right. Well, I think that's a very huge difference and a very important highlight, something to highlight, because otherwise we'll tend to mix the two, put them all in the same basket, and that's not a good thing.
And when we're talking about where God is and where the theology is, I think it's also something to bring up that Christians will get confused about their role, because they'll say, well, wait a minute, as Christians we're supposed to forgive. Well, there's a difference between forgiving and excusing. That's one thing. It's also true that the Bible commands us to forgive those that repent. Jesus said, if somebody sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. We always say that God forgives everybody. Technically, God potentially forgives everybody. If somebody does not give their life to God, God is not going to let everybody into heaven. There'll be this ironic thing where he'll say, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You could have had your sins forgiven, but you pushed me away. So even with God, the forgiveness is conditional. But it's also true that there are two sides of the gospel. One side is, of course, giving the good news that we can be delivered from our own sin, forgiven of our own sin. But the other side is we're supposed to speak against the effects of sin. People are supposed to speak against evil. It was because Jesus was speaking against the evil rulers of his day that he was even crucified. So this is a delicate balance. And as Christians, it's our job to speak out against evil. It's also our job to offer forgiveness. There's the justice of God. There's the mercy of God.
Right, right. Well, I think that's a real key point. Both of those, but that's a tough thing to handle. People, I don't know.
People don't believe in both end. They're usually either
right.
Or.
One or the other.
And then the minute we talk about justice, they think, oh, so what are you, Christians going to go out on a jihad? No, we proclaim justice, but the carrying out of that justice is going to happen when Jesus returns. I mean, to some degree, here in America, we have Judeo-Christian laws, but an actual war in the name of God is one that God himself will wage. We as Christians are not going to have anything to do with that. All right, I'm here with my good friend Greg Jarvis. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
I'm here with Greg Jarvis. Greg, we're down to our last segment already, but before we jump in and continue, let me tell you, it's always great having you on the show, and I believe you told me you're going to be in San Diego in a few weeks, so we'll have a chance to have you here in the studio and have you on live.
Well, I hope so, and I'll be in the studio even if But I don't come on live.
And even if you don't come on live, where are you and I going to dine together, Greg?
Pinnacle Peak.
Pinnacle Peaks. We can't say that enough after that blunder a few months ago. We're going to give them as much free publicity as they can, but they make a darn good steak. Life may come and go. Terrorists may come and go, but you can get a darn good steak at Pinnacle Peak. Make no mistake about that. Bad pun. Bad pun.
That really kind of was a bad pun.
It was very bad, but you know, it was one of those things that as it was rolling off my lips, I knew it was bad. I had to let it go.
Yeah. Well, let's get it out of the system. Hey, on a lighter note, kind of in the same vein, though, in the vein that, you know, it talks about in Scripture, talks about talks about God wanting us to be worshipers in spirit and in truth, and therefore how important it is to be acquainted with truth and to know truth and to practice truth. So much so that when anything other than truth comes along, we can spot it, we can smell it a mile away. So I don't know. I mean, I really didn't pay much attention. This is a kind of change in the subject, but not in that I wish people would kind of get in tune with the truth. And I know everyone believes they have the truth, and they should. Everyone should believe that they have the truth. Otherwise, why believe what you believe? But hopefully things like this that are happening in the news will cause people to question what they believe and what others believe and the actions of others. However, I'm perusing through, looking at the news online, and do you remember 5-6 years ago? I know you've seen this article, and maybe you've even already commented on it, but that book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, have you seen that lately?
Well, now, there's a book called Heaven is for Real, and somebody today told me that the kid had recanted, but then somebody else immediately told me that they're talking about a different kid and a different book. And so I heard this just this morning. I have not had a chance to check into this personally yet.
All right. Well, you check into it, because I believe it is that book.
I can tell you this, even if it is that book. I'm going to be honest with you. I put a lot more stock in what a kid said when he was 4 years old than what he says when he gets older and he's going to college and he's being taught to doubt God. I think kids will just say things as they really see them. And the person that wrote the book was not the kid. It was the pastor who was listening to what his kid was saying, who said, I know what my son learns in Sunday school because I'm the pastor of his church. He could not have known this. And I know two people that know this pastor personally, who can vouch for the character of this pastor. So even if it was that kid who's now for some reason going back and denying it, I'm still inclined to believe what he said when he was a 4-year-old kid and he was just speaking. Who knows what would cause it? I've met Christians who've witnessed miracles who still become atheists and turn away from Christianity.
Oh,
the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and then went and worshiped the golden calf. So I hope it's not that kid. I thought it was a great book. I thought it was a great movie. Hope it's somebody else. But even if it is, it is the same, Nick. It is different. Nick is saying Nick is saying it is a different book.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Nick. Nick carried the day for us.
Yay,
right.
Nick.
Yay, Nick. Nick, we should take Nick with us when we go to Pinnacle Peaks and get him a steak.
Yeah, as long as you're not going to.
They don't pay this guy enough around here. See, I keep getting myself in trouble with the station. Now I'm complaining about how much they're paying Nick. It's probably music to Nick's ears, but it could get me in a lot of trouble for complaining.
I thought Nick was just volunteering so he could
hear. Yeah, Nick's just volunteering because he's so enamored by my show that he just stops what he's doing and says, what could I do to help out the Bob Siegel show? Yeah.
All right, well, Nick is on the ball then.
Actually, Nick goes over and above what he's paid to do, though. He does.
And we appreciate that. Thank you, Nick.
All right. Nick's in there like Hanukkah Harry. Stop! You're embarrassing me!
Okay, so here we got off track. Here was the
okay, yeah, the kid. So there was some kid that there was some Pugsley kid that renounced God. Okay.
Well, there's this Alex Malarkey, the boy featured in the best selling book, The Boy Who Came Back.
Okay, Alex Markey, you see, was not the name of the kid. It was Cauldron something or other.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a kid.
You sure you're not thinking of the movie Home Alone, Greg, with Macaulay Culkin?
No, but I kinda like that movie too. No. I'm going to look into this more. You look into this more, because the whole thing, now it's kind of ruined. It was going to be a quick joke.
Data just wrote down his name. Colton Burpo was the name of the kid in Heaven is for Real.
All right. So I'm going to have to look into the boy.
Yeah, this other kid, Clyde Crashcop, or whatever you call him, he's a different kid.
Okay. Well, this kid's recanting what he had said. But evidently, people went along with it for quite a bit, and the book, and it was a top seller. Now the publisher's pulling it from the shelves. I could have told him when he first came out with it that it was wrong because the kid's name is Malarkey. I just think that's hysterical. Like you said, you can't write this stuff.
You mean Malarkey was actually the kid's last name?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That is funny. That is
him and his dad wrote the book. I think his dad.
Well, now that we know it's not the kid that I like, why do kids know? No, I'll stand by the same thing. I would put. Oh, okay. Nick says it's the boy who went to heaven and Alex Malarkey. Was this kind of on the heels of the other book, Nick? Was it like an? Because a lot of times you do get imitative books once there's a bestseller.
So I'm actually not sure about that.
Not sure about that. But yeah, that's interesting, Greg.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought
you can't. You're right. You can't write this stuff.
Alex, now we've got to turn it into a big
Alex Malarkey.
We got to search and
Alex was the name of the kid on Home Alone too. So there you go.
Anyway,
well, we know what a hit Home Alone 2 was, so a second book about heaven might not have been a good idea either.
I would agree with that. Any, oftentimes the 2 means that there's a problem.
Yeah, if a movie has a number by it, watch out.
Except, you know, like Lord of the Rings or...
No, I love Lord of the Rings was designed right from the beginning as a series. So the movies were designed that way, the original novels were designed that way. They were published that way, So that means it was a legitimate story. Boy, we did get off the path. But I guess it's nice. It is nice to lighten things up. It was a very heavy topic today.
It was. And I almost tuned out because it was so heavy. And then two, I almost rededicated my life after you talked
about it. Well, there you had it. You had the two sides of the gospel, the proclamation against evil and the, but God, there's a real God who loves you. That's it. That's the two sides of the gospel right there.
It really is, and that is key, and that is the most important thing that I think anyone can walk away with. And unfortunately, sometimes we get caught up in the details, not the details, the true details, but in the details of our lives and the things that lead us one way or the other.
Well, Greg, your friendship has been one of the more pleasant details of my life. And on that happier, cheerier note, we'll see you soon when you come to Pinnacle Peaks. We'll do a radio show together. We'll have a steak together. We'll slice. We'll dice. We'll have a good time.
Sounds great, Bob. Thank you, and you take care.
Okay, my friend. Say hello to Leslie for me.
Will do. Bye-bye.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.